just first of all like to make a little remark that it's pleasant to see that this program is continuing on a daily basis. And I'm fully aware it's not easy to get a speaker every day. You have to hope sometime that some guest comes in from somewhere for some occasion, as the case is now. And there seems to be a certain Seata Dishma on your part, that you're able to find a speaker. I think you'll have to create them soon, because you know, when they start repeating themselves. But the Gemara does say that anything which is anistic continues to function. Kush de koi, that the Gemara that says so. If it's not true, then it just fades away into oblivion. And if it's a true thing and it's sincere, then you see it does continue. So seemingly there is some emphasis in what's going on here. Let's hope we ought to comply with it. We're all fully aware, Mishanichnes Hador Marvin de Simcha, that once we enter the month of Adar, we hang up the Marvin Dogim, and we get all excited about our preparations for Purim. And as I see Mr. Bowden here, or Rabbi Bowden, whatever he's called, and you can well imagine that in Gated Yeshiva there was a lot of excitement, remembering the good old days, Mechodesh Adar, preparing for the play, which was usually done in a very professional way. And generally people are excited. There is a certain, arouses excitement. But what I always say, let's understand what Adar is really about. Because this type of simcha, just external type of simcha, is surely not what's meant here, as much as it might sort of stimulate a person, but it's not the real thing. It's something much deeper. So the famous memory in the Gemara, which I want to explain now, Chayav Inish Litzume V'Puria Adelo Yoda. Person is Mechuyev, whatever Litzume means, to, you know, to drink a lot, until you come to the stage of Lo Yoda, which simply, explaining it in a simple fashion, it seems to imply that a person has to come drunk to a certain extent. They should not be able to differentiate between Oral Homan and Baruch Mordechai, which means that he might say the wrong thing. Instead of saying Oral Homan, he might by mistake, Rachmon and Etzlan, say Baruch Homan. And he comes to Baruch Mordechai, also might say the opposite. That's the way I understood it always. So people are very machmer on this halacha. They may add the yoda, add the whole like the shitta, add the bichlal, which is not so sure about that one. Not so clear. But you know there's a much deeper meaning, and I had a kavona, as I'm sat in it, and Baruch Hashem, I don't know if it's interesting, I was mechavim to two great people. One is my Rebbe, Chayim Tzadik Lebroch, Reb Shmuel Rozovsky. I just found the same vault in him. And secondly, Rabbi Yitzchak Hutner, the Chayim Lebroch, also said the same thing. And I had it in mind, so I want to just repeat it, so surely if you have two Eidim, Namonim, Goyse Yidin, who said it. Let's first discuss a bit about the Tachlis Achai. Now, as years go on, everybody is sort of got used to a regular routine that we live our lives in. We get up, we do certain things through the day, we daven, we learn a little bit, we go to work, we come back again, and life goes on. Often enough, there might be people who might be doing not bad things in life, but not really understanding the depth of all that's going on and what's really what the Ribbono Shel Olam requires of a person. There has to be some goal in life. It's not just a matter of doing things, like there's a German expression, ein Mensch ist ein Gewohnheitstier, which means, I know those who know the language understand what I mean, and those who don't, that don't understand it. Oh, but I say that's what a person is. And sometimes even the Avodas Hashem that a person does might be more on a routine basis, without any thought to think, what's it all about? What am I supposed to live for? What is my aim? What is my goal in life? I might have said it once, but I'm going to repeat it again because it's on my mind, so I'll say it. Rebellion of Shabbat. Pardon me?
Get ready for welcome.
That's the mother. Now we get older, you begin to repeat things, but it's not really the point that you are. I have an interesting way of saying it. Rav Elie Rav Shamsek is Tzadik Livroch. We all know the Leib Eliyahu. He lived in England as well. He used to get up very early in the morning. Very early. And in fact, he used to wake up the Bochum as well. And he was into his 90s, and he was still doing it. And the way I heard it, it might be a different nusach a little bit, but he was asked, why does he have to do this at this age? Why does he have to get up so early, man? He's an old man, and can rest a little bit. He says he always looked ahead, you see, in life, and he was imagining when he'll come to the Olam HaEmes, where eventually everybody's going to get there. Even people might tend to forget, but we're going to reach that stage one day. So when you stand in front of the Olam HaEmes, and they're going to start asking you questions, how did you conduct your life? You know how they're going to ask it? They're not going to take it out of a book. They're simply going to open up the Shulchan Aruch. That's the way he explained it. The Shulchan Aruch opened up on Simen Aleph Sif Aleph. And the first words of the Shulchan Aruch, that he starts off what Yiddish life is all about, is his Gabe Kwari. That a person has to be his Gabe Kwari, Avodas Boreh, to get up early in the morning to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not in a lazy fashion like an Ari. Atzlonis is the worst way a person can act. That's how you start up the day. She says he doesn't want to get caught on the first question. No, sir, I didn't do it. Then he's lost, you know, right at the beginning. He wants to be able to say, yes, Ribbono Shel Olam, I did get up early. So I have this following thought, and it seems to me that Elia was very busy with that, his Gabi Kwari that was on his mind. I have a much more acute problem, which I think really should in a certain way make us feel a little bit jittery. There's a Ramon in the first seat. Amor de Ramon, which is actually the Aleph Beis of a Yid. And the question is, how do we deal with it? The Ramon brings a Amor Nevoichen. The Ramban is very, very famous for Amor Nevoichen. And he starts off with a famous posik in Tehillim. Shabisi Hashem Lenegdi Somet. A person has to put Ribbono Shel Olam in front of him, opposite him. Tomet. Constantly, all the time, feeling that you're in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Ramon goes on to say that a person's actions, person's deeds, or even the way he talks, is not the same when he's on his own as when he's sitting standing in front of a king. Because when you stand in front of a king, you measure your words. And you make sure to say the right thing and make the right impression as well. Whereas when you're on your own, a person can be more loose, sort of more casual in his general behavior, the way he dresses, the way he speaks, because he's not standing in front of the king. That's only by Melech Moshev Adam. But we do understand, when you stand in front of him, you measure your words. I want to tell you my own little experience. When I was in America, I was once amongst some Rabbonim every year. Well, the ex-president, Bush, used to call along people to come and speak, you know. He called a Hanukkah type of party. So he had communal leaders, he had a few Rabbonim, and it was changing. And one it was my turn. I tell you, the preparations I made to talk to him, and we only had about 30, 45 seconds to talk, because he had to walk by, you know, every husband and wife walked by, and he was in a small room with Laura, and then you had to walk by and say a few words to him, and then a picture was taken together with him. Probably that picture didn't come out, I don't know why. Something's wrong with it, something else for mine. I just got a letter with a signature, but nothing else. I don't know if it's exciting to put up that picture as well, but it doesn't matter. And it was very nice because she didn't give you the hand, she was explained, you know. I go with Kastamund or something. But anyhow, so we had to walk by. I don't know, I had a few words to say to him, and I prepared it well before. I was stating halacha, how you have to say Psuka de Zimre, Kemoina Magorius. Well, we know what our Psuka de Zimre looks like, pardon me saying it. But when you stand there, you stand in awe. You know, this is a powerful person. His word is a word, the most powerful nation on the earth, hopefully. And then you talk to him. I tell you, every word was measured. I had something to say, which seems to be had a little influence on him, because he made a remark about it. I said that we share common values. He loved that thought. It doesn't, I'm not going into the details now. But then I had the feeling, what it means when you stand lifnei a so-called Melech Boser Adam. A person is careful of what he does. Dr. Rameau, that's the way a person has to feel all the time. Because when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we do not need an audience to be able to be in his presence. We don't need an appointment. You don't have to go through any bureaucracy. You just, wherever you are, you stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as the Rameau is betaiped with the Shoinoi, Melech Malchi Amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Oymet Olah Veroye V'maisov. He's standing next to him. And he's supervising, and he's looking and inspecting everything that you do. So how much more a person has to behave accordingly. And to understand what it means, and how you have to stand in awe in front of the awesomeness and the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch. That's what the Rameau tells us. But I ask myself the question, how are we Mekayim the Shivisi? How are we going to answer the question when the time will come? Were you Mekayim this Rameau? Did you fulfill it? Did you behave accordingly? Now, when nobody's pretending that we are that we should be, about the Chofetz Chaim, I'm sure, could answer it in a very positive manner. But we know we always have this little, like, trying to cheat ourselves and pretending. There's one Choshev Yidden in America, and he was sitting once at a simcha, and the dessert was given. The dessert was given on table, nice ice cream, colorful one. And he was sitting next to another type of clay kodesh, whoever it was. And he noticed the other person hesitated. He saw that he had a desire to eat that ice cream. But he sort of hesitated. I thought it was gepasst, you know, in front of the public to start gobbling an ice cream. It was difficult. But this other one, and I tell you, it is another Minsky Rebbe, he did eat the ice cream. And he said that his father taught him that whatever you do at home, you'll do in public. Get it? That fellow did eat ice cream at home, according to the goggly eyes that he had. You can imagine. But the minister said, if you do it at home, don't pretend. Don't cheat yourself. And here I want to come to a very important issue and get back to what Chazal started off with. How often in life are we cheating ourselves? You know, how many people, like in the public eye, if you're a public type of image, and you're getting certain covered, you know, due to something that you are, or you pretend that you are, and people always say, hoo hoo, ha ha, when he comes with big moidores, and all the rest of it. And a person lives with that fantasy. He begins to believe it, you know. But Kaibi once said, he keep on saying, I go in a tzaddik, I go to, then he, later when you don't like it, he feels bad about it. People begin to feel this is it. And you can live all your life, right through your life, in that fantasy, imagining you are what you really are, just because people are saying it about you, when you yourself are not that person they think about. Because you can play the game well, you act well in front of the people, but you yourself. And what's the proof to it? Let's see once when you're on your own. When you're on your own, how do you behave? You know what I heard from Reb Shimshon Pinkus, somebody told me, the Choyna Tzadik Livrocha. He was very upset when he saw people who might be quite the chovedig when they're in public. When they travel on a plane, they don't stop looking at the movie. Pardon me saying it. Choshev a mention of it. He said, well, Shukik, what's going on with him? This choshev, the person who stands up in front of the public and Zuk Tachev Shemusa Recha Dazoy. The Teretz is, you know what he is? He is what he is when he's on his own, when he has a choice and nobody's looking at him. That's what he is. When they're going to all the Rebbe Masiv, how does he behave then? This is you. And this is how you're going to present yourself to the Melech Malchi Amlochim. That's what you pretend to be. And the fantasy that you have when you're in public and everybody says, hoo-ha, that's not you, that's someone else. That's an imaginary personality. That's difficult. And that's what Yiras Shomayim is all about. The real, authentic Yiras Shomayim of a person is, when you say the big Yiras Shomayim, a small Yiras Shomayim, as much as a person is aware of this presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I did say once, I might have said it, there was a nice gentleman from Tel Aviv, I think he might have been the father-in-law of one of the Moses boys. You know the Moses boys from Goodness Tours. Yeah. Is it still around, the Goodness Tours? Yeah, yeah. I don't know what's going on today in England. Anyhow, better we not talk about it. But the Meister, he was a Choshev, his name was Sekovitsky, he was the brother of the old Gates of the Roth. He was in his 80s. I saw him in Bournemouth once by, I think it was, it must have been the Daf Yomi anniversary, 50th anniversary, one of these things, or convention, one of the things. And at the time, he told me that the Chofetz Chaim spent a few months by his father. His father was a Minsk Maggid, a Choshev Yidgeleim on the Tzadikim. And the Chofetz Chaim spent a few months, and he gave me the following description. If you want to describe who the Chofetz Chaim was, he said, we know that the godless of the Chofetz Chaim, that when he walked on the street, you felt as if he was walking hand in hand with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I like that one. He felt the Chofetz Chaim, every movement of his, he was walking hand in hand with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tosi gerein the Chofetz Chaim. And this is life. This is what life is all about. How much a person brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu into his being, and to make you feel you have this presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I did say over once as well, and you might have heard it from someone else as well, there was an old gentleman in his 90s who used to be a very big masmid. Huge masmid. He never stopped learning, and he wasn't a godly soul. He was a poshut yid, but he was a real masmid. And they asked him, how do you get to the sasvoda till your very ripe old age? He said when he was young, the Beis Halevi once gave a shmooze. I don't know if it was given personally to him or in the yeshiva in Belozhin. The Heilige Beis Halevi, the Chetzadik Levroch, at that time said that whenever the person sits down to learn, whatever he's doing, he has a chavrusa. And the chavrusa is the shchina. The Rebbeinu Shlom sits on the other side of the table and faces him. It's a mission in Ovis. I feel an echot. Person who learns on his own is shchina kenegdoi. And when you open the Gemara, Kibayocha, the Rebbeinu Shlom is also opening the same Gemara and he's learning with you. So just think, when you start talking to Bohem Betayim in the middle of your learning, or you just close the Gemara and run off somewhere, you're leaving HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his own, you know, like you. That Heilige Welt came from the Beis HaLevi, it penetrated right into him, and he never forgot it, you know, it was always haunting him. Whenever he wanted to leave the table, I can't leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the table. And obviously at the same time, a person would sit differently, and not in a casual manner when you learn Teurak Deutsche, ganz in Ernstkeit, with the Rezinus and the seriousness. So therefore he could never leave the Gemara, because he was Mekayim the Shevisi in learning as well. Sometimes we in the middle of learning can act in such a casual manner, we don't feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is around. Sorry to say, in the middle of the finger, Shas Mekvetch Shoyzdom Toises, not always does a person behave in a manner that he's sitting in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the Shevisi Hashem the Negdi Somit. I once mentioned that Rav Shlomo Kluger in Chochmah Shlomo has a topic in Halacha, whether a person is allowed to think of the Shivisi while she's in a Beis HaKiseh, because it says Tomit. You have to be able to do it constantly, even in the Beis HaKiseh as well. You should be able to think about Yichud Hashem, or is it considered a Dovah Shebiktusha, because you're not allowed to be Meharer Afila Divrei Torah in a Beis HaKiseh and Beis HaMerchet, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, let's repass Kintla Halacha. What about Yichud Hashem? Are you allowed or not? He thinks you can. Because the Gemara says in Yuma, Davorim is based on the Posik Batzitz, V'hoyu al Mitzchoy Tomit. That's what the Posik says. So the Gemara says, what is Mitzchoy Tomit? He has to wear it all the time. Cannot be. Because you cannot wear it all the time. You have to go into Beis HaKiseh, you have to go to sleep. You're not allowed to wear the tzitz whilst you're asleep. So Tomit has to mean all the time, even in a Beis HaKiseh. So therefore the Gemara learns Pshat, as Mitzchoy Tomit does not mean it should always be on your Metzach, no, it's Tomit Meratze. Bein sheyesh no al Mitzchoy, bein sheein no al Mitzchoy. So if the Pasuk says on the same line, Shevisi Hashem v'negdi Tomit, this Tomit means constantly, all the time. So you have to be able to do it in a Beis HaKiseh as well, as what's lacking in Tomit, according to the Gemara in Yuma. You get the raya of the Chochmah Shlomo? I once had another stickler raya to it, which I always add on, the Yerushalmi in Brochus. Yerushalmi in Brochus says there was a certain Manda Oma who used to go into the Beis HaKiseh with his tefillin, holding it in a way allowed to hold, didn't leave it outside, he took it with him. Why did they take the tefillin with him? Because he wanted to have sort of to be prompted to be Mekayim the Shevisi Hashem the Negdi Somit in the Beis HaKiseh. Or the Charaif in Yerushalmi that the Shevisi goes on even in the Beis HaKiseh as well. Well, therefore he took his tefillin with him. Unbelievable. Falkoponim, this Shivisa and Resolved Rabbusai. It's very hard. What are we going to do about it? How are we going to get away with this Ramor? We're going to have to answer this question. Were you Mekayim Yisrael or not? I want to make things a little bit easier. I don't know if it's the right answer even, but I want to say something, and somebody showed me almost it's a Gemara. That made me feel really exciting. For something you have thought, you don't know if you're on the right line, but it's Kematik Gemara that says it, if you want to understand it properly. There's another way to be Mekayim Shavisi, might be not in that fashion. It should be constant on our mind, like the Tzadikim used to have the Ribbono Shel Olam on their mind all the time. But for us, in our Madrege, there's another way to be Mekayim the Atonement. And what I mean to say is B'shav Tefillah. We do know that the Gemara says in Brochus that Tefillah is Keneged Tmidim Tiknum. Tefillah is Keneged the Korban Tomit. Now the Korban Tomit was also called Tomit, although it was not something that went on constantly, you know, every day. Twice a day we're marked the Tomit. And if Tefillah, it's also called the Tomit. So if Tefillah are Keneged Tmidim, we'll have a new interpretation of the word Tomit. That B'shav Tefillah, a person should stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and feel the Shivisi Hashem the night is soft. Now this all depends on our approach to Tzibah, and it depends how we daven the actual davening, and also the after effect that it has on us after we finish davening. Ledavrinenu, it's one of the weak points in our generation. The way I see things, I'm seeing a lot of people see it that way. You might have people who might even learn not badly, you know, have their kriyas etim, the Torah in a certain way, others a bit more, others a bit less. I think Torah is being learned quite a lot today, and even more spread out than in the olden days. I'm not the only one to say it, it's been said by Gedolei Yisrael. Well, I do feel a very, very weak point is davening, even amongst Bnei Torah. I don't know why. I can give you a mesholim, you know, I can write half a book of my mesholim that I have today to show how people approach davening. But it's sad. It said, and I'm not going to have kindness on anything that's been done in the bottom midrashim, although it is on my heart and on my mind, but there are a lot of things going on in davening that we don't seem to be aware that we're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sorry to say, it doesn't seem to be. And I'm talking even those who are already former a little bit and can put a fat gemara on top of the siddur, you know, come to the siddur immediately with 2-3 svarim. Somebody told me that in a certain shtiebel there's someone, and Chazoris Hashatz and Tzukdim is very busy looking up tens of Svarim. Then they have an Asoka, you know, in Ger, they have an Asoka after Shachris. He's schmoozing all the time. He definitely learns in the middle of Davin. What can I tell you? We have these pamphlets, you know, coming Shabbos, given out, all types of pamphlets, so people take 2-3 at a time, and right through the Davin, they're busy looking at the pamphlet already. That's already the kosher type, where you think you're doing the right thing. Believe me, somebody who learns in the middle and says with all the tzion and looks at the Gemara at the same time, he's not doing any aveiras, believe me, I'm sure. He's not talking Lashon Hara, you know. He's far, far from davening properly. There's no shivisi in that. He's just concerned about his own self. He wants to feel good, you know. He can't concentrate on what he's really doing. And I'm not talking somebody, some talks more of the tailing and just has casual conversation in the middle. I'm not talking about if the aveira is so big or not, which it is in fact, but where's the shivisi? Are you standing in awe in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I want to ask a question. If a person is not mekayem the shivisi even at davening, where is he going to get it? In the business? When he goes out? When he goes to work? That's where he's going to get the shivisi in this treifen avot that we're living in today, Rachmonin Itzlam, Molin Isyoynus Atzumin? So where then are we going to get this concept or anywhere near it if not B'shas HaTfilah? With a real kavona. In Ganzen, Perish HaMilis, then a bit closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't live a fantasy life, Meruchet Men HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't think so much about yourself. Be Machnir yourself for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Beig dich unter a bissl. And daven, with intensity and with kavona. I want to tell you what somebody showed me, a Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Chof Beis. Because what I'm trying to say is now that Shivisi Hashem can and Mekayim them with a davening. Who says so? Interesting Gemara. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Chof Beis when he talks about a Melech. A Melech had 2 Sifrei Torah. One that was lying the Beis Gnozov, famous Gemara, and one that he took with him all the time. Nechneses Miyotso Imoi, he had the Sifrei Torah with him. And the Gemara talks about the Indian of Shivisi Hashem Lenei Disomet. And the reason why he had it is because he should feel that he's in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Especially a Melech, who is a powerful person, and he can sometimes think too much about his own ego, so he had to feel all the time that I'm machnir myself to the malchus of the rekir to the rebbeinu shloim. So to be kind, shivisi, he had to say the Torah. There's another one who learns differently, the posik, and the Gemara says, what does he do with the shivisi? There's a sugis agamor in chav beis m'saladim. He says shivisi is a different shot. As the oilam yispalel odom. In other words, not the shivisi which the melech has all the time, nichneses v'yoytzeim all the time. There's another type in shivisi, another type, another concept. A shivisi b'shav tefillah yispalil odom v'shchina kenegdo shenem a shivisi. When you claim in that Gemara status what yet's correct, if you can't be the kind of shivisi in the full sense of the word, at least when you're mispalil, feel the shchina kenegdo. That's the only way today in our time, in our day and age. You know, Rabbi Chonan Vasser, my father's going to walk at home once. Rabbi Chonan said, he said on reading Sipuri Tzadikim, which is very chosh, especially in today's day and age, to read stories about Gedolim. Look, it's very nice, and it's chosh to do it, but it's not the real Torah. What's the right, not the real Torah? Because the Sotan lets you do it. If you take a Maisa Bichel in your hand, he'll let you read it for 3-4 hours and you won't even think of buckling in the middle. If it would be the real Torah, then the Sotan wouldn't let you, the Baldova wouldn't let you do it. When does he get hold of a person and Amtsuch to learn, and he's there, suddenly he's on the scene. Maisa Bichel. So my father added on as an anecdote that he thinks sometimes Gemara Rashi is on, so not yet the real thing, but Duskloft Echtebaldo. It only gets down to Toysa that he really stands in the way. I get in Toysa's mudafa, the horven and a little, then he's on you. But I want to add on to all that. I want to add on my little bit. That in our day today, since learning has become more spread out, and the Baldova lets us learn, you know, I mean, he's quite nice. He lets us learn today as well, he's not so disturbing. But Philly doesn't want to come. He doesn't want to have davening properly. You know, davening properly is a simon that's the real thing today. In Tfilah, without Tfilah, nothing goes. I'm not sure what Chazanish has to say in his Ikra. There's a lot of talk about it. Without Tfilah, it's not Shaykh. Now, you know, Tfilah in the olden days, I feel a posher to Yidin. And I have an Ungarish Shoyrish, put it that way. Oberland somewhere. You know what Oberland the Yidin used to daven? I feel a Megulochim. I'm not talking people with long beards. Normal Baptist people who work to the day, they could end up the davening with a soaked tzitter, soaked in tears, with a statchus hanefesh. I'm not talking about the Yom Neron, even a normal Shemon Esra. They could mamish cry out the tears, shed tears, just in a Shemon Esra. How many of us daven with tears? Shari the moist learning all. How many of us after a davening? How many of us feel good after a davening? Oh, Baruch Hashem, I davened nicely, I feel so close to Kodesh Baruch, it's wonderful. How many times davening is like an oil, you want to get over it, you got that feeling off and run off somewhere, I don't know where. Why don't we have a geschmack in Avodas Hashem? Because I'm more posher than Yidin on gehad. Because these Yidin felt the Shivisi. And this Shivisi is something which you have to work into our system. That the Rebbeinu Shlom should help us, because that's what life, we're going to go back to our Kodesh Baruch Hu when the day will come. We're going to get back to it. We're not going to leave to run anywhere away. No distractions, no running off, no cell phones, whatever you call them. Nothing doing. We're going to face our Kodesh Baruch Hu on our own and see how were you mekayem the Shivisi while you were still alive. That's going to be the testing point on each person, and we'll have to be able to answer it. To mekayem the name Ramon in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. And if you're Mekayim Shivisi, doesn't matter if you go on vacation, if you're on your own, someone a business trip, or anywhere, you'll be careful. The Rebbeinu Shloim is accompanying me all the time. And if you're lacking in that Shivisi in your tefillahs, who knows what a person is apt to do? That we discussed before these movies on the way, the Kedoyim without going into detail. The person not careful about himself, and he doesn't do an Avodas Hashem whilst he is amongst the Tzibah. On his own individual self to understand what is my relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Forget about all the fantasies of life. Who are you? How are you facing HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is your relationship to him? How close are you to him? How do you act accordingly and feeling and being aware of this presence of Shechinah? That's what life, and how many times we cheat ourselves into this fantasy life. We cheat ourselves. We think we are what we are, but we are not. because we haven't got its real tshivisi. I want to go back to the memra I started. I want to tell you an interesting pshat. Chayiv inis litzume v'puriye adelo yoda. So we said the posh at the pshat of the Welt Lern, that you have to get all mixed up in your drunkenness and say the wrong things. That's not what the Chazal meant, I don't think so. Of course you have to say the right thing. But here again, you know what Purim is all about? Purim is nicht nesyayin yotzosoit. There's a lot of talk about that without going into Arichas. Nicht nesyayin yotzosoit. The yayin comes in, that's the famous Yiddish saying. Yiddish is not anymore in the mode, but there is a Yiddish saying that says, a nichter of the ling, a shikker of the thing. Meaning, when you're not drunk, and you're sober, then it lies inside on you. But when you get sicker, it comes out, you know, through your tongue, and then begin to hear who you really are. You can tell a person when he's sicker. Because when he's sicker, he loses his sense of stability. He doesn't think what he's about to say. So what does he actually say? A sicker comes out with his premius. What are you really inside? I've heard strange things being said in shikras. Strange. Which you would not have said whilst he was still whilst Chushu was still awake. And then I've heard other people who are shikra and just saying Vom Shabiktusha. Ruchnius, Heilige Werte, Stoike Kislik Ulle, you know, the real stuff what a Yid is supposed to look to die for. So the practice of Zoe. All here, we don't know exactly where we're standing. Who are we really? As I said before, we're living a fantasy type of life. We're living according to what other people judge us. And we begin to believe that's us as well, you know. We can even sometimes behave in public that way. I'm not saying privately, but in public at least. But you don't know who you are yet. There has to be a time in the year when a person can reveal and bring into the open who he really is. His inner feelings. Who are you? And get to know yourself, at least not too late, hopefully. That's Purim. It's a type of Chazal Azoyat. Chayiv inis litzume adelo yoda, until you are not aware anymore, and then to hear what you have to say. When you come to the bechin of lo yoda, let's hear now what you have to say. Subconsciously, what are you going to say? Are you going to say Ora Homan? Or are you going to come out with the truth that Homan, you don't even detest him so much? Homan is not so bad. What are you going to say in a state of a subconscious mind when you're not aware of what you're saying? It's a tiefere type in the Chazal. You just drink until the lo yoda. You're not aware. And you're not stable. You don't know what you're talking about. And let's hear which words are going to come out of your mouth at that point. What are you going to say, Ora Homan or Chas V'Shalom Faket? And then you'll really know who you are. Then the soid of your inner self, who you really are, is going to come out into the open. This is the Avodah of Chag HaPurim. The Avodah of Chag HaPurim is the Nichnes Yayin V'Yotzeh Soid, and there's no greater Avodah than that. And this is the Simcha we're trying to get to. With all the disguises, with all the plays we make on Purim, with all the excitement, never forget the Ikkah. Now I tell you, you know what simcha is? There's no greater simcha in life by a person who's mekayim shivisi. A person who lives all the time, constantly, in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything that he does in that fashion, that manner, being aware of the presence of Shechina, this brings about the greatest simcha. It brings about a great bitochen in a person, and all that life has to give. And it's like, you know, you're going into your mother's arms, like you have a baby. Kegomul ale imoy. That's the best feeling. The best feeling is to be together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there's so much darkness, there's so much abyss in this world, if that's the right word to use. There's so much darkness. The bit of light that we have is only when we are medavik v'chaya chayim v'atem avikim v'ashem v'lekuchem, that's where chayim kuchem, and that's the oyer in this world. It's a very grey and dark world today. As much as we connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this brings out the real simchas chayim. The Rebbeinu Shem should help us. We should be zoiche to learn the lessons of Purim And as I said before, just let's get to know ourselves before it's too late. We should know who we really are, what our status is in Avodas Hashem, and how close HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Zoyche Zayin, all of us, to the Emes Tichis Dabkes, Be'oye Penei Melech Chaim, and to be Zoyche to the Gula Shleimo, Be'meirov Yomeinu Omen.